Mekuta Sicha is Chelik Yudalad, Parsha Vayelech Sicha Aleph, a summary of the Sicha. In our Parsha is the mitzvah of Hakel, and it's written in the Tesefta in regards to Hakel, that on that day, meaning the day coming to Hakel, the Kainim would stand Bigdorim Uprotzis, which means at the fences and at the passageways, places where people go and come, and they had golden trumpets, Chatzaisiris, and they would blow shofar in order to gather together the Yidden to the Beis HaMikdash for Hakel. And any Kohen that is not holding a trumpet on that day summoning Yidden to the Beis HaMikdash, they would say, it seems like this is not a Kohen. He's not doing what a Kohen is supposed to do. So the question is, how does this become such an important Avodah for Kohenim? Kohenim are supposed to be working in the Beis HaMikdash. That's their Iker Avodah. So suddenly they have to be standing outside summoning people by blowing trumpets. How does that become so essential to them that any Kohen that's not doing it, they question his position as a Kohen altogether? So to understand this, we'll first look at what is the matter of Kohuna. What is Kohuna? It's written in the Pasuk in regards to Kohenim. Yosimu k'teira ba'apecha. They will place k'teiras in your nose, so to speak. The kolva mizbechecha, as well as karbonas on the mizbeach. So we see from the Pasuk that the Pasuk separates out K'teiris from the rest of the Karbonis, from the rest of the Aveda, putting a special focus and emphasis on K'teiris. The Sifri says, in regards to this Pasuk, about Yasim K'teirah Ba'Pecha, that it's specifically referring to the K'teiris that was brought Lefnai Lefnim, which means in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which of course happened only one day a year, Yom Kippur, and it was done only by the Kohen Gadol. So how does that, it was only one Kohen that was able to do it, how does that make and capture the Avodah of the Kohenim if it talks about only one Kohen on one day of the year? So one of the things that we find in the difference between the K'teiris of all year and the K'teiris of Yom Kippur, the Rambam says that in the K'teiris of Yom Kippur, if he didn't put in that type of plant, which is called Mala Oshem, which means it created an amount more smoke, it created smoke, which means it went upwards. So if you don't include that particular spice into the K'teiris for Yom Kippur, then Chayav Misa. That is essential for the Aveda of K'teiris and Yom Kippur, that it should have the smoke creating spice. So what is it about the K'teiris of Yom Kippur that it's so essential that there should be smoke created, whereas all year, it's supposed to be all year too, but if the all year it wasn't there, it doesn't invalidate the K'teiris. But on Yom Kippur, if it's not there, it invalidates the K'teiris. The Rambam in the Meir Nevuchim explains a reason for K'teiris. He says that it was in order to improve the odor of the aroma of the Beis HaMikdash, because it was basically, essentially, there was a butcher shop, and there was shechting and blood and so on, and burning of flesh. So in order to improve the aroma of the environment of the Beis HaMikdash, K'teiris brought a good smell. Of course, the Rambam doesn't mean to say that the only reason for K'teiris was in order to remove an aroma. K'teiris was considered to be the height of the Aveda of the Beis HaMikdash. How could the Rambam wouldn't be diminishing it to that? But perhaps what he means to say is how the Zohar expresses it, that the K'teiris removes the zuama v'tinufa, the contamination and the filth of the Yetzer Hara. That's what the K'teiris comes to neutralize. That's what the Rambam means. Now, how does that, why is K'teiris specifically that have that ability to remove the effects of the Yetzer Hara? Because the K'teiris was from such spices which were really not edible. They were not edible at all. Which is distinctly different from all the other karbonos, which had to be edible. They had to be animals and so on, other things which were dafka edible. In other words, that the K'teiris dealt with the lowest elements of creation, and it was there to elevate and to refine the lower elements of creation. In other words, to remove the negative effects of the klipa of the Yetzer Hara. But if that's the case, that K'teiris is there essentially to remove negative the negative part of creation, why is that such an essential avodah on Yom Kippur, when Yom Kippur is a day which is dealing completely with holiness, and the, even the type of tshuva is tshuva yilah, it's just connecting to Hashem, it's not tshuva on averis. So how does Ketores become such an essential avodah of Yom Kippur, which is purely holy? So therefore we must say that there's something about the Ketores on Yom Kippur which is different than the Ketores of the rest of the year. And that is, it can be understood with the difference between tshuva all year and tshuva on Yom Kippur. It's very different from each other. Tshuva of the whole year is considered to be tshuva meyira, which means at a fair. So therefore it only reaches a certain level. It's not a complete bittul, because it reaches only so far as protecting oneself from, you know, from the odin, from the master and so on. And therefore, it only has the capacity to turn averis into zdeinus lasalei kishgogis, that a deliberate avera becomes neutralized and it's seen only as an inadvertent avera. But a tshuva, the tshuva of Yom Kippur is tshuva me'ava, me'um kedaliva, from the very depth of the heart, and therefore it comes from yechide, which reveals the very essence of the Jew. It's a connection to Hashem, which is from the very essence of a Yid to the very essence of Hashem, and therefore it has the capacity to transform zdeinus into zachias, to completely transform them into mitzvahs. This type of tshuva is not that he's doing tshuva on averis that he has. This type of tshuva is that he has, a person has such a strong desire to be connected to Hashem and to be ultimately only part of what Hashem wants, that completely transforms the person into something completely new and different, and therefore it has the ability to transform the averis into something completely new as well, into mitzvahs. And if it comes b'chol ma'idecha, truly an infinite type of tshuva and connection to Hashem, so then it also brings to a deeper level of zdeinus nasalei kizachius. And this is also the difference between ketores of all year and ketores of Yom Kippur. Ketores of all year is, as the Rambam says, it's there to remove the negativity, and as the Zohar says, to remove the negativity of the Yetzer Hara. But tshuva, that's like tshuva meyira, that it's dealing with the averis. Tshuva on the ketores on Yom Kippur is similar to the tshuva me'ava, which is that although it does deal with somewhat of a negative aspect, but it's a completely transformative type of avoida, turning the world into something completely different, something positive. And because this type of the Ketores of Yom Kippur is something which is meant to reach an infinite aspect of creation, transforming everything into an infinite connection to Hashem, that's why it took place in the Kodesh Kodashim, where that was the place where there was the Aron, there was nothing other than the Aron and the Luchas, and it was a place which had no measurements. You couldn't measure, as we know, Makom Aron Einam and Amida. It's the room in which, it's the space where this kind of reality was the norm, which now explains why the Mala Oshan is such an essential component of the Ketores of Yom Kippur. Because Mala Oshan, which means it has to be able to reach all the way upwards, all the way into the highest levels. And on Yom Kippur, that is the whole point of the Ketores, to reach into those very highest levels. Therefore, without that, you haven't accomplished the Avoda of the Ketores of Yom Kippur. But the rest of the year, even though it's a desired component of it, but it isn't essential, and therefore if it wasn't there, it doesn't invalidate the Ketores. And because the whole idea of infinite means that there is no measurement to it at all, and therefore it's interesting that the Mala Oshan is Kol Shehu. How much Mala Oshan, how much of this spice do you have to have in there? Only the tiniest bit, it doesn't matter, a tiny bit, because it's not about how much, it's just that it's there and it's infinite, so therefore even the slightest amount accomplishes the job. And based on this, we can now understand why it's so essential that the Kayanim, whose job is expressed in the Inyan of Ketores, in other words, to elevate and work with the lowest elements and to elevate them to the highest levels, which is the reason why they were given the task that by Hakel, which was not, Hakel was a time when it wasn't just the regular people that were obligated to come every Yom Tov to the Beis HaMikdash. Even the children and women that were not otherwise obligated to come, they had to come during this time as well. In other words, that it was reaching to the every single element of the Jewish people in order to bring them to the Beis HaMikdash. It was the Kohanim that had to do that, and if he's not doing that, then it seems that he's missing the whole point of what it means to be a Kohen. And that's why it says that they went, where did they go to gather the people? L'gdorim u'protzes. Protzes means open, broken open places, which means passageways, but it's expressed as broken places, that they went to the lowest places, the places which are not protected, in other words, under the domain of Kedusha, but they're broken open, which means there's access to Klipa too, and that's where they stood to gather the people. And that's why it was done. They trumpeted with trumpets rather than shofars, let's say, because we know what the Maggid said. The Pasuk says, "Va'asisa shtei chatzotzes," you shall make two trumpets. So the Maggid says that it means there are two chatzotzes divided into two words. Chatzi tzura, half of an image. In other words, like we say in English, two sides of a coin. That the chatzotzes express the idea that the Yidden and Hashem are two sides of the same coin. They make up one complete entity. In other words, that was also that was what the Bekayinim were trying to do. They were trying to bring together the Yidden and Hashem to make it into one and complete entity. As we know, even those mitzvahs which we are unable to fulfill in our day and age, like Hakel in the literal sense, but the message is still there. That it's up to every Yid, who is also Mamleches Kohen of Agai Kaddish, that we have to go out to the places where there's people in the Protzes, and the places where there are people that are not necessarily in the closest relationship with Hashem, and we have to bring them to Hakel, bring them closer to Hashem in this way, and then through this, we will ultimately be Zeichet to the true Hakel when Mashiach comes.